if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, ahoy. And much like the JCB around the back of my house would say, beep, beep. Actually, started doing that on cue. That's pretty amazing. Beep, beep. I love living in a new build. My name is Dan.
You got the builders in?
Well, I haven't got the builders in. The builders are trying to hurriedly finish all the flats they've got to give over to customers in 3 weeks' time, despite the fact they've only just dug the trenches for the utilities. I'm Dan. I'm one of your hosts. I'm a grumpy homeowner these days. Talking of grumpy homeowners, Timothy Hibbs, how are you doing?
Hello, sir. Yeah, all right, all right. Yourself, apart from construction going on around you?
I love it. It's great. You know, I'm starting to learn to live life with a fine layer of grime over everything as stuff gets dug up and then flung all over the rest of the building. So it's fine. It's great. Love it.
The advantage of new builds is you get to find all the problems before anyone else. And moving in early means that you're living on a building site. So nice.
Do you know who's a right git?
Everyone?
Bob the Builder.
Bob.
Git.
Yeah?
Git. Git. But not Bob the Builder, Gary the
Good
Git.
Name? Or?
No, Gary the Git is what he should be called, not Bob the Builder. What an arsehole. Anyway, coal man.
Bob the Builder! Can we fix it?
I will reach
Bob the Builder!
He's been holding that in for a while.
Yes, we can!
You can hear it explode out
I
of him.
I will reach into the internet, I will ram my hand down your throat and then pull off your vast deference from your testicles and pull them out. Oh.
If everyone could just tweet at Dan this week with just the words, Bob the Builder.
Bob the Builder!
Hashtag Bob the Builder.
Well, actually, if you can get Neil Morrissey to Twitter me, that I'd actually...
He doesn't do the voice anymore, Dan.
But he used to.
Get with the times.
No. He was OG Bob the Builder back when it was good, before it sold out, and it was like, hey, who can we get to do the voice? Doesn't matter, because we've made all the money. We've stopped caring. That's what it'd be like. I'm glad the recent video game didn't do that to one of its main protagonists recently. Yeah.
Hey, Dan.
What?
Dan.
What?
We should possibly add some sense in here just so people know. Dan does actually have like builders going on around him and lots of noise. We're going to try and edit out as much as we can, or Coleman is with
Hello.
Him.
I've had to put a mattress in my window. All of a sudden I've gone from living in a nice new built house to white trash. I may as well be sat here on garden furniture as far as I'm concerned.
But basically, we've already heard reversing trucks and banging and all sorts of clattering going on. So we'll see how this goes throughout the show.
Bob the Builder. What an arsehole.
Bob the Builder.
Right, chats.
Yes, we Dan.
Yes, we Dan.
Really?
Can we podcast?
Sure. To quote me in Extra Grumpy Extra Life 2016.
That's the only time you're wasting.
Damn straight. I mean, we can talk about, you know, the highs and lows, the joys, the trials and the tribulations of having a bunch of very loud people around the back of your house. If you really want, I'm happy to do this all night. But you guys, you know, you might...
To quote Dan, Crothers, get in here and wipe my bottom. My hands are busy playing Switch.
To be fair, looking ahead to the agenda, this just means less time for you to talk about Destiny 2.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
This is what I was wondering. Is this actually the most elaborate intervention yet to stop me talking about Destiny?
We've sent the builders around.
Exactly. It's like, you're like, right, all of a sudden, Tim's bought up all the flats around the back of my house that are still being built, demands that he has the keys by the end of September, and they're now having to do a rush job.
Coleman, hopefully Dan hasn't realised that we haven't quite gone to those lengths and we've just used your audio skills to send a few people around with some equipment.
Bunch of speakers around his
just playing the noises that sound like construction. Damn it. We thought he'd make you cancel, actually, Dan, so...
Tim.
Our plan has backfired somewhat.
Tim, hopefully Dan hasn't realised... Bob the Builder! I think I peaked at that one.
I think you peaked a long time ago, Coleman.
I forgot to face away from the mic that time.
A long, long time ago.
All right.
So while I hear your Bob the Builder and I get back at you with Jimbo. Jimbo? Anyone remember Jimbo? Oh, Jimbo was great.
No, yes. I'm not 50.
Jimbo! No?
No, I remember Jimbo. Jimbo! I was trying not to show my age.
He was great. I like Jimbo.
Good.
Bertha.
Can we do...
Always slightly go with the creeps. Oh, so fine. Do... When it's your time I'm wasting, it's okay, is
I mean,
it?
If you want to talk about old TV shows,
yeah,
I'm happy to...
We just went off on another random tangent.
Bertha. Lovely, lovely, lovely Bertha.
Bertha. Bertha always gave me the creeps a bit for some reason.
Yeah, I was finding a bit creepy. I think I was a bit old for that, maybe, when that came out. Anyway.
Right.
That's showing my age.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Man, why is it... We have... Having to start shows on a bit of a downer, two shows in a row here. Now,
I like to get the bad news out of the way first when I write these things.
So, is the pun intentional? What you've written here: two natural disasters affect Nintendo directly. Is that intentional?
No, that was not intentionally. I did not intentionally write that out.
Because that's in exceptionally bad taste, Coleman.
Well, that wasn't meant to be read on the podcast either. But
right, okay, yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, I
bus thrown and under.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I'm not going to read the headline.
Okay, so explain yourself, Coleman. Explain yourself.
Okay, so there's been two natural disasters over in Nintendo. The first being Typhoon Jebi, which was a very large typhoon that has caused lots of damage over in Japan, mainly over in Kyoto, which is where Nintendo's headquarters are. Luckily, Nintendo themselves, you know, there's no giant damage to them. It was more of an amusing story that the N got knocked off of the company logo on the building, but at the same time, 10 people have died in this storm, so it's not that funny.
No.
So following that news, there was an earthquake this morning in Hokkaido, and Nintendo, they were going to have a 35-minute Nintendo Direct today and decided that they will postpone it to another date, not saying when yet, but just sort of out of respect for what's going over and what's happening with this earthquake in Japan. Now, the gross thing about this is Nintendo put out a tweet, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's very noble. I can see why you'd do that. That's fine, and move on with our lives. There are a lot of people very angry that Nintendo are delaying their Nintendo Direct because they wanted to watch it today instead of, you know,
at some point
mourn loss of actual life in the world. And so,
kind of more important things right now.
All right, okay. Or if you are one of these people, you need to have a word with yourself. All right, I'm sorry, you do. Stuff like that, real life is always, 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 always. We love video games, but real life is always more important than that. And that is pretty real chuff in life. So if you're there bleating about, oh, I didn't get to see some more screens or some more video from Super Smash, well, you'll see it soon enough already, all right? This, more important. You need a slap, give it to yourself, have a word, all right?
Some people are getting hyped because there's a lot of rumours that there's going to be some sort of Metroid announcement within this as well and other stuff, but look...
Hey, look, you've waited a couple of years, you can wait a couple more days, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not going to make a major difference. Like, there is actually a big thing going on. This is more important. Shut the hell up.
Yeah. So I think we've made ourselves quite clear there, Tim. I don't know about what you think, mate.
Yeah.
Coleman, anything else to add? And it better not be Bob the Builder.
No, I don't think that there's a time and place for Bob the Builder. And talking about natural disasters is not that point.
No.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I pretty much what Dan said. There's being a dick online in general is a big no-no. And then the No Man's Sky controversy, when that happened and people started sending death threats to the staff. And then we've seen examples of that in other stories as well. And then just to argue to Nintendo, like someone literally wrote, Nintendo, I pay your bills. Come on. This isn't acceptable. I'm the customer. I'm not happy. It's gross. It's very gross.
It's not like a game was delayed or a release of a game. That I can understand more people being upset about that if they'd pre-ordered something. This is this them showing you stuff. Like, come on.
Exactly.
You read what people write on the internet and you just think, really? Come on.
It makes me think some people just completely and utterly lack empathy or the ability to see things from other people's point of view and how it, like, they're not the center of the universe, basically. It surprises me every time, but yeah, there are people that think that way, basically.
To quote a Twitter person, it's called him Ethan, because that's his name. I'll give you a surname, because I don't want to give him...
Call him Queefen.
Queefen. Yeah, I get that and everything, but seriously, where the is my direct? I want direct now. He describes himself as going, I have no life, but I have a banana. So I think that eloquently sums up the, you know, kind of the mental dexterity at the very tips of the fingers of such wonderfully cerebral people. Anyway, we hope everyone is as well as can be expected, and it's just horrible. There seems to be something horrible going on just about every week this week at the moment. Every week this year, it just seems to be just all over the place.
Well, you know what they say, when Tim plays Ace Combat 7 in Expert Controls, that is one of the signs of the age of the apocalypse.
Yes.
It is. He's
the end times.
Yeah, he's the 37th horseman of the apocalypse, just because he got a bit lost on the way out.
He's late.
He was late.
Just woke up.
Stop for a conversation.
He forgot his horse. So he's actually just like the 37th man of the apocalypse, actually. and he got an Uber here, so he's the 37th Uberman of the apocalypse. That's Tim. But talking of in the face of overwhelming opposition, Sony, bless them, are still sticking to their guns about this whole crossplay thing. Now, this is something that I am not chuffed about, because I think it's unnecessarily divisive. There is no good technical reason why this can't be a thing, as is evidenced by certain publishers accidentally turning on crossplay with PS4. For an afternoon. And essentially, Sony's argument is like, well, we're the biggest boys in the playground, or girls in the playground, so we're not going to play. You know, we're going to take our ball because we've got the most consoles out there, and sod the lot of you.
That is word for word the statement.
It was translated from the Japanese by Kenichiro Ishida, I believe. So that was me just translating, because clearly I'm like a ninth Dan in linguistic Japanese.
The one thing that I will say in Sony's defense is the one thing that I've said before, and one thing that they're not publicly saying. Xbox did the same thing to them in the last generation when they were on top. They refused to play ball and have cross-play from PS3 to Xbox 360, and that's why I think Sony are more determined to not give that up to them in this generation.
So, okay, so there's two bits to this, and this comes down to Fortnite, surprise, surprise.
Yes.
Okay, fine. If you want to stop some cross-play, at the end of the day, it's a walled garden, the PSN. They have right to do what they want. But I have a bigger issue that if I've signed on to a cross-platform account with a PlayStation ID, that blocks access to that account on other platforms. I think that is not good.
I agree, that is BS, especially if that is not highly flagged up to you on signing up through the PS4. Because that's something that should say, if you do this, you cannot unlock this. Are you sure you want to do it? And you should have to tick it to agree.
Exactly.
To it. Because otherwise, you're taking away what might be considered, and they might be have rules and regulations of this, but as far as I would understand it as a customer, you're taking away something that I had without the prior knowledge of me knowing that going into the deal, basically. So
the deal's getting worse by the second.
Exactly.
It is.
But look, as I said, I can understand them not doing crossplay. That is almost them getting revenge on this generation, and if they want to play it that way, I don't think it makes them particularly look good. They could sort of turn the other cheek with this one and actually do a good publicity thing to make them look better than Xbox did in the last thing. And I think that would actually not backfire them as much as they think it might, kind of thing. But having now backed themselves into a corner, it's getting more and more difficult to do that and come off with any good public credit. So I can understand them not doing it, but the not allowing those accounts to do, or at least not flagging it on the way in as a real big thing, I think is an issue that people have a right to complain about.
Well, Carl Mann.
Hello.
Those points were moderately interesting, but they're not as interesting as some points I think you might have nestled in your underpants. So,
yeah,
hit me with those points of interest for our acquire interest, because I need more interest. Interest.
Well, we've got a couple of announcements, and I believe Tim wants to take these.
Yeah, well, this one I thought was just quite interesting. Caffeine, which is a kind of seemingly posing itself as a bit of a rival to Twitch. It just got a massive investment from 20th Century Fox. $100 million investment.
I hear they've got some money to throw around from Disney.
Well, yeah, possibly. And this is one of the things they're looking to do with it, possibly. But it's apparently in beta. I don't know much about the actual service itself, but if it's getting this sort of money behind it, you could bet that it might be, you know, stepping up kind of its kind of interest in gaming and other stuff. Like, the one thing I don't know if it's got an app baked in, or in any way will be able to get something baked into consoles like Twitch does, because that's obviously a massive advantage for streaming from consoles. But yep, just thought, you know, of interest. Twitch, you know, is obviously good at what it does, and this is something where then I think they were talking about it in terms of a Twitch rival, but also talking in the kind of esports space as well, basically.
Well, my understanding of Caffeine is It's kind
of coffee.
Thanks.
And energy drinks.
Excellent, thank you. Also, the follow-up to caffeine, Guarana is also, you know, the next big platform, I understand.
They do that in boost bars.
They do do that in boost bars. You're not wrong, Coleman.
I'm helping today.
Mate, you are the biggest pile of help that I've had today. You're a big old bag of help.
Beep, beep, beep.
Almost as much help as that truck. So, one of the things that caffeine's trying to make itself unique about is that it's kind of not only a streaming platform, but it also has the streaming software as well. So, unlike Twitch, where you need to either configure OBS or get an XSplit license, or the same deal with YouTube Gaming, this is kind of like all in one.
Mm. Oh, YouTube Gaming runs through the browser, but it's still in beta.
So, yeah, so, I mean, and the other big thing I think where it's really trying to get one over YouTube Gaming and Twitch is that essentially there's no partner program needed to monetize your content. From day one, you can monetize, you can start making dosh on it.
Oh, that sounds good.
I don't know how their cuts compare to the amount of money being sliced off the top, because presumably that's how they make the cash. They get the commission fee, essentially. But I don't know how that compares to Twitch or YouTube.
Nothing compares to Twitch.
No, to you, Tim. Nothing compares to you.
That's right. Yeah.
But apparently, I mean, the last time I really had a look at it, I just had a quick look under the hood. But now they do support OBS as well, which is an open source streaming software. So it seems like they're making some real strides, and, you know, hopefully it will enable people to get people an audience for their broadcasting, which I think is one of the problems, is getting off the ground. So hopefully they'll do something to that in those terms as well.
One of the more interesting things about the platform is something they put in their press release, is that they look to get rid of the toxicity of comment sections and things. And as someone who's spent the better part of 2 days reading through comments on our YouTube current videos, mainly about me,
but he's been a brave defender all the way through.
I would like to see how that is possible, and without just some strong filters.
But I mean, I think a competition in any space is good, though, right?
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, that is a whole hunk of chunk of money. Tell you what, maybe I ought to give caffeine a go at some point, and I can...
good idea.
Stream me being very bad at Destiny with Kev.
Competition drives business. That's why when the WWF bought WCW and ECW, they became rubbish for years.
Yes, because they have no incentive to make themselves better, Coleman.
Exactly, Dan. Tim had another one.
Go on, Tim.
Well, we were talking about some other things coming up, but yeah, I just wanted to mention that there's a demo, if anyone's interested, for Fists of the North Star Lost Paradise.
No, not interested. Next topic.
The reason why I mention it, though, if you download and try the demo, you get a free theme with it. So even if you were planning on buying the game, worth possibly trying the demo.
But how is this in any way different to any other Fists of the North Star game ever?
Oh, can I? Isn't this the team behind Yakuza that have been working on this? That's the reason.
Yep.
Right. That should make a difference. Why?
Because Yakuza are really, really good beat-em-up games that have RPGs baked into them. Yeah. Fist of the North Star lends itself to be a decent license for a beat-em-up.
I mean, my only thought about Fist of the North Star... Okay, so everyone's head seems to be freakishly small who's in Fist of the North Star.
Big body, small heads.
Yeah, they also only seem to be able to, you know, summon one expression on their face, each character. Each character has a set expression, and that will never change.
That's because animation used to be very expensive, Dan.
Yeah.
That's why we outsourced it all to Korea.
Right, okay, fair enough. Good. Capitalism, yay! next topic.
All right, so there's a couple of acquisitions that have been announced today, in fact, just before we started recording. The first one is the IP Kingdoms of Amalur.
I remember that!
Yeah, that was meant to be an MMO years ago.
It turned into a single-player RPG, which I thought that game was all right, I thought.
I believe we reviewed it very badly. It wasn't very favourable. But yes, THQ Nordic has now purchased the IP from 38 Studios.
That really strong IP.
Yeah, if you remember correctly, there was a massive amount of... There was basically like this rock star group of game developers and story writers and stuff put together to work on this project that was going to be this huge MMO. And then just over time, started, you know, first they decided MMOs weren't popular anymore, and then they tried to take the assets and turn it into a single player RPG instead. You know, it didn't look as impressive as other games of its ilk at the time, so that immediately didn't work for it. But it had this huge amount of work that was put into the game that could be used in future. They wrote this whole background to this world that you never got to find out about.
Yeah, well, and there was also, I think the bigger issue was that there was allegations of ways in which public funds were used that were perhaps not used in the best way possible.
They basically moved to, I can't remember what city it was, but they moved their studio to a city because they got a huge tax break for doing so. They also got funding from the city, and that meant when the game performed, well, it didn't perform poorly, but it didn't perform as well as they thought it would being an EA published game. Once that happened, there ended up being this, when the studio folded, there was this weird struggle between the city and EA over who owns intellectual property and profits and all sorts of things. It was a very weird time for video games, watching a city fight EA. THQ Nordic has now bought that. Now the dust has settled and no one really cares about Kings of Amalur anymore. So it'll be interesting to see if they get any of the original guys behind that game and if they can bring it back into something.
Maybe that's why the most recent SimCity was allowed to be so rubbish, that EA now just hates cities.
That's what it was. That's exactly the reason.
Yep. I'm glad we finally worked that one out.
That's why they've patched all cities to have DRM.
Yeah, exactly.
The other one was CCP Games. We heard about this previously. CCP Games, they are the guys behind EVE Online. They had a bit of a financial issue earlier this year, and it turns out they've now been acquired, but I don't know.
Have you seen how much money they make on EVE? It's a load. They make so much money out of EVE. How can they have no money?
But a lot of their other projects weren't as financially rewarding.
Mm. And they were doing a lot of VR stuff as well, weren't they?
Well, they did EVE Valkyrie, which is still a great VR game, but I don't think it was massively financially successful. And just the fact they pulled away from VR in general, I don't think Spark was even as successful as EVE Valkyrie, possibly.
Okay,
so
you said VR three too many times for my liking. Okay. Carry on.
But anyway, the company's actually been picked up by Pearl Abyss, who they make Black Desert Online.
I met her once. She was a lovely lady.
If you've not heard of this game, it's a South Korean MMO. It's absolutely huge, and it gained like notoriety over here because the way they did their PR campaign was, before releasing the MMO, they released like a creator character software you can install to make your character ready for the game, and it is ridiculously in depth, and it is a very pretty looking game. But it's got a massive audience overseas and a bit of an audience over here, so they've still got some money to throw around. According to GamesBeats, they've picked them up for $425 million, and that's expected to go through on the 12th of October.
That's a lot of cash money.
Do you want some release dates?
Go on then.
Okay, so if you are waiting for Anthem, eagerly awaiting, then on the 1st of February, you'll be able to play the demo. If you are an EA Access subscriber or an Origin subscriber, basic or premium, or if you've pre-ordered the game, like us serfs would have to do on regular consoles on PS4. So the 1st of February, that's when the Anthem demo will drop. On the 19th of January, we're going to have No More Heroes Travis Strikes Again. That is a Nintendo Switch exclusive tie-in game to the No More Heroes 1 and 2 titles.
And one that we've both played.
Enjoyed, and if you have a look on Big Red Barrel TV or on BigRedBarrel.com, you'll most likely find an interview with Tim and
Suda51.
Suda51.
And just for a point of clarity, absolutely nothing to do with the quasi-folky Scottish band from the late 90s.
No, not that Travis. Or Dave Travis. Lee Travis.
Anyway.
Could have gone with an older reference.
But yeah, you can find an interview where Tim is meant to be finding out all about the video games and instead talks about Tottenham FC. So
I did both.
Party Hard 2 is coming out on the 31st of October, which is relevant. That's on PC only currently, but I can predict that will come to consoles as well.
I really wish it was Party Hard 2, Party Harder is really what they should have
it
done.
It really should be, shouldn't it?
Party too harder.
No.
Something like that.
No.
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 Too party too hard.
Oh, God.
If you've not heard of Party Hard, it is a very fun game, sort of semi-top down. You're at a party. You're a serial killer. You have to kill people without getting caught. That's the basis of the game. It is really ridiculously fun. Party Hard 2 looks absolutely phenomenal. I can't wait to get my hands on that.
No doubt it may be a good game.
your happy description of that made you sound like a bit of a psycho.
A bit sociopathic. A bit sociopathic, not going to lie.
Okay, that's one.
Okay, good.
Valkyria Chronicles. In fact, apparently the entire set of Valkyria Chronicles is coming to the Nintendo Switch, but they've announced Valkyria Chronicles, the first game with all its DLC, will be out on the Switch on the 16th of October, which I believe is after Valkyria Chronicles 4, which comes out in September, also on the Switch. But apparently if you pick up 4, and then you will then get a discount on the first game. So if you want to play 4 and go, wow, 4's really good, I wish I knew about 1 to 3. Oh, look, a discount on the first game. I can start again.
Marvellous.
You mock, but that is a very good fit for the Nintendo Switch. And I think even the first game will still look, because of the graphical style that it was in, I think will look really pretty on that Switch screen.
See, I think they should have brought the first game before the fourth game to the Switch.
Yes.
But at the same time,
first games should always come before fourth games.
They are very long.
In general.
Well, yeah, but I think that at the same time, they are very long games, including all the DLC.
May have worked for Star Wars films. Doesn't work so well for games.
No, Tim, it did not work for Star Wars because the prequels were rubbish. They were a bag of cack.
No, but he was correct to start with the fourth pass first because the other three...
Bag of arse.
I'm more a defender of the originals than most people, but still. Not the originals, the prequels.
There you go.
Still.
You're a defender of the prequels.
I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm just saying they have good parts and good scenes.
Where? The credits? When you know that no longer is your brain going to be assaulted?
The first one that everyone complains about, The Phantom Menace, has the best lightsaber fight in...
And Jar Jar Binks. And he's like the best new character.
With the possible exception of recent films. Anyway.
Like, he gets his face stuck in between the two electrical currents of the pod racer engines, and then his face goes numb, Dan. Do you remember that bit, Dan?
I have never, ever defended anything about Jar Jar Binks.
That was so funny. It almost distracted me from the fact that he was a very thinly veiled racial stereotype.
And he's all like, how old?
Seriously, Tim. That and Rise.
Dan.
Okay.
Yep.
Dan, do you remember Boss Nass, though?
Yeah, he was funny, wasn't he?
He was awesome.
Yeah.
I wish he had a lightsaber.
Yeah. God, they were terrible, those movies.
Okay.
Also, Darth Maul.
I have the high ground.
Darth Maul, kind of cool.
Darth Maul was kind of cool. But we also note that he really didn't speak either, which was...
Yes, he did. And he was voiced by Peter Serafinowicz. Peter Serafinowicz.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, it is. And lastly, we've got a delay. Battlefield 5 has been delayed. Not by much, by a month.
From 20th of October to 20th of November. I was having a chat with a friend of the show, Jamie, who loves his Battlefield. He actually thinks it...
And fish.
Loves fish. He will sell you some... He would like... You know, if you went to Scotland, you know what you'd find? You'd find Jamie there welcoming you into the country with open arms and would ask, would you like to buy some fish?
No, I remember going to the border of Scotland just to sort of... You know, I like to do that thing where I'm going, I'm England, I'm Scotland.
I'll do that with Wales as well.
And there was Jamie there with arms wide open.
Would you like to buy some fish? Try and make it sound like you're doing Jamie the supercut by jumping back and forth over the border by making him start the sentence every time again. Would you like to buy some fish?
Anyway, you were talking to Jamie.
Yeah, would you like to stop insulting the whole of the Scottish nation?
I think fine.
I was just insulting one person. He thinks we wouldn't be surprised if it was delayed again. Because apparently there are some really poorly thought out aspects of the game and its UI and kind of the whole flow of playing it that apparently people are up in arms about after having played a bit of the open beta. So it may be pushed back again, is what his thinking is. Apparently it's definitely not ready for prime time.
Yeah, with the whole closed and open betas coming in so close to the game's release that we're always dubious as to what are they going to do about this other than stress testing. Like, this isn't a proper beta or an alpha or anything. And then in the case of Battlefield 5, they have actually taken feedback on board and come back and gone, we have taken your feedback on board. We're going to delay the game to do some additional work on it to the 20th of November.
I mean, but a month is not long. A month is not long at all.
The other thing I'm thinking here, when is Red Dead out?
27th, I think, of October.
So this is, you know, either the week before Red Dead comes out or a month or nearly, you know, 3 weeks or so afterwards. I think I know where I'd rather be if I was trying to sell lots of copies of my game.
I heard a week after Battlefield, they're going to release Titanfall 3. Oh, yeah, you never learn.
Just do it on the same day.
Shoot yourself in your foot. As soon as you get your big old foot out, your big old mouth, the first thing you do is shoot it, is what you do.
That's all the news.
Right. Well, if that's the news done, we better talk about what we done, did, played, and stuff. Now, in the interest of time, you guys go first, and then I know how much time I have left to speak about the Destinies.
Okay.
And also, that way, people can listen to most of the show and then just turn off if they don't want to hear me talk
gently
about Destiny.
Gently go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. All right, go for it.
If you listened to episode 307 last week, you may have noticed that my voice was very Irish and that I've been playing Strange Brigade, which, of course, was the lovely sexual Diomed speaking about the game instead. And he seemed to enjoy it very much. And I, too, have been playing Strange Brigade, and I also enjoy it. Pretty much everything what Diomed said about the story, the tone, the pace, and everything is all spot on. It is very quintessentially British, tongue-in-cheek, I guess, on old exploration-type documentary films, and then brought into this kind of fantastical element. So it's a weird... It's vintage Indiana Jones, I guess. And the whole thing, what I found interesting as well, he kept constantly saying, Dan, this is the game for you. You have to play this game. Most probably because there's a British bloke in it constantly narrating, going, oh, gadzooks, look, we are being attacked by mummies. Decaying corpses are coming back to life, reanimated. All this kind of stuff. I found quite interesting because I was playing around with the settings because you can change, you can set it to maximum frame rate so it will stop jumping. It won't stay on 30 frames solid, but it will go as high as it can go, basically. And there is a mode in there to tone down the Britishness.
Really?
Yeah, it's not all of a sudden if you tone the slider down, everyone will be like, y'all coming over here and shooting some goddamn mummies. None of that. But it's,
that would be really funny anyway.
It's just, it's cutting down like how often the banter between the characters and the narrator talk and all this kind of stuff, because they do say random stuff. Because the whole game is intended to be played cooperatively online. I play a lot of it single player as well, which is quite weird because you can optionally pick to play campaign on your own or you can go online. It's not just an online and you one story and you switch it on or off. You have to specifically choose it at the main menu. But when you're playing single player, it'll go, make sure to drop health down with this button for your teammates. So I haven't got any teammates. I'm playing a single player. But the whole time they do that thing, it's meant to be one weird thing your character's saying to then the other players playing as the other characters will hear. So it's a nice thing to turn off because otherwise you've just got a character talking to themselves and it is quite annoying. But yeah, I'd be interested to, like, if anyone else is playing Strange Brigade, then I might have to organize some BRB nights on that because I'm really enjoying it. I know a lot of, I know Diomed and a lot of the other guys from the site, they're playing on their own little games as well. So it'd be a nice thing to do some nights on. It is a very fun game.
Wouldn't mind jumping in on that at some stage as well. So
yeah.
We should say one thing that Diomed did preface is with last week. You are slightly less connected, Mr. Coleman.
Yep.
But we still, like, through Diomed and through other Joe. People on the site, such as Joe, we know people at Rebellion. And yeah, so just
Rebellion and Sold Out.
Dagger with a small pinch of salt. But yeah, it's still... It looks like a game very much built for multiplayer, but it looks like a fun one for us to possibly play. So
yeah, plus I want someone to do Horde mode with, because it reminds me of, like, Glory Days 360 Gears of War Horde mode kind of thing. It is ridiculously fun.
Yeah, I like the traps and stuff on that as well, but anyway.
Unfortunately, Spider-Man comes out, like, the day after we record this show, so I won't be playing it for a little while.
Spider-Man's for 25 hours or so. I got two games that I want to cover reasonably quickly, hopefully, and I know I'm saying that for me, and it might go horribly wrong, but I mentioned Shenmue last week, or Shenmue.
Thank you!
I have had a discussion on that. Shenmue, with a soft moo on the end, is apparently the acceptable pronunciation, just if anyone's in doubt, but Shenmue will ever be the way that we pronounce it. Shenmue 2, I've been playing a bit of this week. I basically cheated a bit. Have my hands up.
You cheating git.
Cheating git.
Well, for basically, God's sakes, Timothy.
I played a bit of the first game with Rick, who lives nearby. So I invited him round to come round to play a bit of Shenmue 2. And he'd actually told me that he'd been playing, after playing with me, he went and picked up, well, got copies of the games for review, and is played 1 and 2 and is now ahead of me in 2, basically.
That was the coolest of cool stories. I don't know how you feel about that, Colm. That was a cool story.
He did come around and we basically just kind of rinsed through it. But it was quite interesting because we managed to get through, with him kind of guiding me where to go, we managed to get through as... in like 1 day within the game, we managed to get through what took him like 4 or 5 days. And then in a couple of days in the game, we managed to get through like a significant portion of the thing that took him like 4 days of playing time, basically, in like a few hours. So, yeah, it kind of condensed things. It meant I didn't kind of see and do all the kind of exploratory side of things, which is obviously a large part of the game. And we didn't do some of the messing around side of things so that we could get to certain points. But yeah, like it's definitely a... easy to see that it's a much bigger, more polished game than the first one. I mentioned last week with the first one that the cutscenes haven't really been touched. They're kind of in a 4:3 sort of ratio and look as ropey as they did back in the day, whereas the rest of the game has been like polished up a bit, so it looks a bit nicer than the cutscenes, which is a bit odd. But yeah, generally it is more of the same but on a bigger and grander scale, and it kind of gets you into the action a bit quicker. There's not quite so much slowness at the start of the game, basically, but well, especially when I'm rinsing my way through it as well. But yeah, like, in story wise the end of the first game, spoilers, you leave Japan and make your way to Hong Kong following the big bad guy that has made his way there, and you leave on a boat. You're in this, in Star Shenmue 2, you arrive on that boat in Hong Kong and you're kind of making your way there. You've got to like rent a room, whereas before you were living at home. And yeah, so it's kind of a different structure to the game and a bit differently set up. You've got to work and earn money every day, and a lot of those tasks are really laboriously intense and difficult and hard, and I cheated my way through most of them because, yeah, Rick had been practicing quite a few of them.
That's how you roll.
That's how I roll. I mean, we did a bit of arm wrestling and a few other of like the different, just, you know, tasks throughout the thing, but generally we're kind of motoring the way through the story. But yeah, it's one of those ones where I'm glad for my time having gone back to it, but it's still a bit of a hard game to go back to. Like I mentioned last week that the, you know, you have to stand around and wait for certain things to be open. There is a waiting system in this where you can go to certain points and wait until like a certain point in time. So it gets around that a little bit, but there's still like, it's still a very slightly janky camera and it feels like you're steering a tank. Like, it's one of those things where he feels better when he's running in full motion and easier to control that way than when you're trying to steer him really slowly, where it feels like you're steering a boat on ice skates. It's like, yeah.
A boat on ice skates.
Yes.
Boat on ice skates.
I have a feeling, Tim, that you might not know how A, boats, or B, ice skates work, is my sneaking suspicion, but do carry on.
I think you'll find that is the description I gave for the car handling in Drive Club.
Ah.
Not Drive Club. The crew.
Oh, yeah, the crew's got horrendous, horrible handling. Anyway, I digress.
But yeah, but as I said, like I enjoyed going back to it, and I think nostalgia helps me enjoy the experience a lot more. But the other thing it did give me a bit more confidence in is I think that Shenmue 3, as much as...
What?
Shenmue 3, as much as I'm kind of slightly apprehensive because, as I said, I don't think these games are going to necessarily sell anyone on the concept of a third, but I think the basic concept of a open world exploratory game in which you're like solving a story and kind of kind of on the trail of your dad's killer and stuff, which, you know, it's quite an interesting premise and stuff and has interesting kind of setup, but doing that and then having the idea of what the original game was, you know, an exploratory game that had all these mini games buried in it and had like quick time events and stuff like that, I can see that still lending itself to being a good and interesting structure of a game, and I hope they get that right in the third one, basically. But we'll see. Yeah, the other one is one, a game that I've been playing far too much of this week, partly why I had to cheat on Shenmue 2 a little bit. And I might go back and give Shenmue 2 a bit more time, but I've been playing a hell of a lot of Into the Breach, which I believe you talked about previously on PC, Dan. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a great game. Love it.
But I've been playing on the Switch as it came out this week, and I think it was announced just before the show last week. And yeah, it's a great game at a great price. Obviously, you covered it a bit before, Dan, so I won't go too much into, you know, the kind of mechanics and setup and stuff. But yeah, I think it's such an ideal fit for the Switch that I definitely wouldn't want it on another console, basically. Anyone doesn't know, it's a kind of roguelike game, but I really like the way that the setup of the universe explains that roguelike nature as well, and even in the title, Into the Breach. Basically, if you get overrun at any point in the game, all the aliens come out of the ground, run over your kind of the area that you're in, and you have to abandon that timeline, save one of your pilots from your team of three mechs, and get the hell out into the next timeline where you'll save that pilot and the situation he was in, but then you have new mechs that you have to upgrade and then start again, basically. And yeah, like, it's a really well, you know, a really well thought out, the basics of the game are kind of distilled down to its kind of almost simplest form, but gives you just enough complexity to always give you enough to think about and, you know, enough to handle and kind of work with. I really like the upgrade system. I really like everything, how all that works and the different mechs you can unlock and all that type of stuff. And yeah, like, it's got a hell of a lot of replayability for me as well. No, like, I've played it an absolute ton this week, basically.
Yeah, it is the good times, I can promise you that.
I appreciate it from the type of game that it is, and that plays into exactly the type of game I like, a turn-based strategy. Again, as I said, a really good fit for the Switch. But it's also, I really appreciate a lot of other little touches about it. Like, it's just not just a really well-made game, but a really well structured, and I know this is a boring thing to say, but really well, like, labeled and signposted kind of game. You know what I mean? Like, if you want any information anytime, it goes, oh yeah, that information is available to you. Like, again, slightly played into the mechanics of the whole temporal nature of things, you can actually undo a move at some stage if you make a mistake, which is quite handy. And little flourishes and touches and little things that they've added, like the in-game achievement system and all that type of stuff, that just really kind of like round it out nicely and make you appreciate that this was a game that was given a lot of love and care and attention. And it shows, kind of thing, no?
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, it's a great, fantastic game, and I think it's really distilled down in a really excellent way. There's kind of a lot of the fat that you see in a lot of these games is being trimmed off. It's all just about a really good, tight, enjoyable, well-explained, real-time strategy.
And it's trimmed down, but it doesn't seem like it's cut anything that was necessary to the experience of feeling like an epic battle kind of thing, you know?
Absolutely. It is really, really well judged in so many ways. So, yeah, it's a great game for the Switch, and I thoroughly recommend that you all go and check it out.
And it's an odd price, just below £12, I think £11.39 or something, but for that price, the amount of replayability you can get from it is ridiculous.
If it was £11.38, then I probably would have gone for it.
Well, Nintendo point discount and you'll be okay.
You've got to draw a line in the sand somewhere, mate.
On a beach.
Well, that is often a handy place. Unless you happen to carry around a small sack of sand with you at all times, just in case you need to draw a line.
Might be easier to carry chalk, just for the record, gentlemen.
Drawing a line in the sand, are you? Have you ever tried drawing on sand with a piece of chalk, Tim?
Anyway.
All you need to draw a line in the sand is your finger, and you just go, that's a line.
Stick a chalk and one of them tiny little graters that you use for chocolate on cappuccinos, and you grate the chalk like it's sand.
Yep. There you go. Get yellow chalk.
And charge you £4.50 for it, right? is how it works.
Posh sand.
Right.
And then McDonald's will make a really patronising advert. When they do their version.
Although I must the thing is, if you've lived in North London long enough, or with any bit of London, you can slightly recognise what they're getting at there. It's like, it's one third foam, one third coffee, two thirds milk. Like,
don't
that.
You stick up for McDonald's.
In it, what?
No, I like the advert.
Next
I think
you'll
the
be selling out to News
point.
Corp.
Hey, right. So anyway, my personal sponsors, Bungie, released a game this week.
Bungo.
Bungo. Destiny 2 Forsaken. It's,
never heard of it.
Yeah, I know, right? It is the third bit of DLC and the beginning of year 2 to Destiny 2. It's essentially the kind of level of expansion that Taken King was to Destiny 1.
Right.
I have a question.
Yes.
How much?
Depends.
I've never played Destiny 2, and I fancy playing Destiny 2. How much do I need to play on Destiny 2, not counting the PlayStation Plus giveaway?
Right, well, if you've bought the I think the expansion you can get for £35 straight up. They've got a legacy collection for your standard RRP of £60, but you could probably pick it up for £50. And that includes base Destiny 2, expansion 1, expansion 2, and all of Forsaken. And I think that it's even got an item which allows you to kind of insta-level your character ready to go to Forsaken. So
that sounds like a bargain. Is there a second season pass I may be able to purchase with the game?
Well,
with the DLC for the game.
With the DLC, if you want to put about another £20-25 on top, like, you too can have the... they're not calling it a season pass, they're calling it an annual pass.
That's so Activision it hurts.
To be fair, isn't annual longer than a season?
Yes, but
I'm really glad that we're not getting hung up on the specifics here.
You're having a go at them.
Well,
but
I mean,
to be fair, though,
I completely understand with Destiny 2's previous outings with DLC, which were frankly lackluster, why people are wanting to go, hang on, we'll wait. And I think that's probably the right call here, to be honest with you.
I've done my thing. You can talk about the game now.
Alrighty. So, as you may have heard, everyone's favourite robot, Cade 6, he's dead as. He got done dead, did it. He got shot in a way that is... well, his ghost got shot as well, which means no coming back to life for Cade 6. And it was by the evil brother of the Awoken Queen, Marisov, from the first game.
Taken Queen King and the Awoken Queen.
The Taken King, Awoken Queen.
Okay.
As far as it seems at the moment.
Also, I've got a question.
Mm.
Can we not just boot up Cade 7?
No.
All right.
Well, theoretically, you could.
Yeah. Who voices that
theoretically, one? Theoretically. You could, because Exos, like, reboot themselves.
Yeah.
After they start going a bit loopy. It's unsure whether or not, if one gets kind of irretrievably destroyed, which apparently Cade 6 has been, whether or not you can do that, or whether or not everyone who's mates with them just forgot to read the manual and could have just, you know, turned it off and on again. Who knows, really?
Okay. Try power cycling.
Yeah, exactly. So Cade is gone. He's definitely dead. He's out, never coming back, definitely gone.
If you were telling that he was dead, how would you say that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, they're all dead, Dave.
Oh, okay,
exactly.
Right, okay.
Okay, so dead, that's how that would go.
Gotcha.
All right, good. So that is the setup. You're out for revenge. It's got a bit of a kind of a quasi-Western theme to it. You're kind of going out and, you know, hunting down the people who did you wrong. There's even literally a bar you break into in one of the Lost Sectors where the Fallen play music. I sh** you not.
Is there like a Fallen at a piano going ding, 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 and then the doors open, the saloon doors open, and the guardian walks in, he's like, ding, 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 stop. It all goes quiet, you hear like one glass smash, and everyone...
it's got a Fallen Vandal stood behind a bunch of decks. Like, clearly being the DJ.
Oh no.
It's very random. And it actually uses a bunch of the music from The Tower in Destiny 1. So when I first walked in, it was Paul McCartney doing that random song. I was like, yeah, Paul McCartney did a song for Destiny 1.
Oh god.
Seriously.
Like, modern Paul McCartney isn't good.
Actual Sir Paul McCartney, yes.
Oh no.
I know. I know, so that was playing the first time I went in there. It's very strange. Anyway, I think we're digressing.
Watch out for the spaceman, he's walked in through the door.
No, but it's actually not that dissimilar to that. So there's a whole new bunch of gear to earn. There's the level cap was previously 30, it's now 50. There's a whole new bit of the reef to explore, which you could never really do before. And there's, in the end game, there's a whole other chunk of goodness to have a wander around with, secrets to discover, etc., etc. Now, there was a big patch that landed about a week before.
How big? Really big patch.
It was a big patch. 35 gigs of patch.
That's a big patch, Dan.
That's a big patch.
Which is a big patch.
Not as big as Halo's patch, but it's a big patch.
It's a big patch. It's a sizable patch, which actually made a lot of the gameplay changes that were needed in advance of Forsaken, but that's free to everybody. So everyone gets a weapon slot changes.
Patched in some changes. Paul McCartney.
Indeed, they did patch in some extra Paul McCartney. So
your Paul sounds more like Ringo, just for the
No, yep. Ringo's so, more like that.
Oh, for f***'s sake.
Carry on.
It's your own time you're wasting. Destiny does this to me. I don't know why. And a brand new bit of single-player content as well as a whole new PvEVP mode called Gambit.
It burns when I PvEVP.
PvEVP. And if all's gone well, there should be some footage of me.
It's what they make window frames with.
It is. No, that's PVC.
I'm not sure that's the type of footage you want to put up on the internet, Dan.
That's you, PVC.
That's where they sell things on TV.
Yeah, it is. It is.
PVC, PVC, PVC.
Get masks. Anyway, yeah. So if all has gone well, there should be, if you're listening to this on YouTube, there should be some footage of myself, Kev, Rygo, and...
Jamie.
It's not Jim. I believe it is Rich. Oh, okay.
Surely they'd be watching on YouTube, though.
Well, you'd think, but apparently our podcast, this audio show, goes up on YouTube anyway. So you're the one behind all that. So you'll
by
have
request,
to do explaining. So Gambit is actually a lot of fun. There's a lot of strategy to it. I think that'll take a while to explain just by itself. So perhaps that's for another time, but. I've only really just got to the end game content after going through the main campaign, which is about 8 or 9 hours long, the main campaign. But much like Taken King, kind of the meat and potatoes of it seems to be in the post-campaign bit of the game, which I really haven't had enough time to explore yet. So I'm probably going to need to come back next week and say what my thoughts are on all of that. From a narrative point of view, it's a little bit more serious in parts, but there's a few too many MacGuffins in the story to get themselves out of the corners they've written themselves
That's
into.
That's the race from Saturn, I believe.
It is, actually.
The mighty MacGuffins.
Yes, not to be confused with the O'Guffins, who are from Jupiter.
That's correct.
Completely separate people. And although they've tried really hard to make the story a bit grittier, they have really kind of... I still think the narrative for Destiny 2 does need some work, and the way that they've kind of got themselves out of jail free with the story they've been telling. I was talking to Kev about it earlier today, and
he said, ow, my arms.
Yeah, he did say, ow, my arms. Apparently, he didn't know he broke both of his shoulders. Do you know that?
No.
No, he then went to work, and was like, my arms are a bit sore. I think he's just trying to make out like some kind of video gaming version of Chuck Norris and his well hardened stuff, but I just think he's an idiot.
I worked in Asda for half of a shift with a dislocated shoulder without realizing once.
Is it? Did they only notice it because you had these? Right. Do the Asda move. Pat your ass.
No, I was very young.
Pat your own ass.
I was working on tills, and they're like, "Why are you only using one hand? My other arm, I can't really move it. Got beat up. Can't figure out."
Looking like the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
They thought it was weird when I leapt up onto the treadmill and started going, sanctuary!
Jesus.
Sorry, too soon.
Too soon. So anyway, clearly I'm not going to get to describe Destiny 2 Forsaken to you all. So I'm going to play a bit more of it in the week coming. I'm going to talk about it again.
I have
clearly,
a question, Dan.
Yeah, what?
Are you happy
like
now?
Genuinely,
I want to know... Are you happy? Are you satisfied with the content overall from what you've seen? And is this the Destiny 2 that Destiny 2 should have been all along? Or is it better than that?
Destiny 2 is slowly turning into Destiny 1, is what I would say. And there
but
are...
But it seems to be still turning slowly. And what? How? What?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of stuff from Destiny 1 that I won't spoil too much. Quite a lot of stuff from Destiny 1 that makes an appearance again in Destiny 2.
Like what?
Like, well, there's certain... assets, for example, there are whole armor sets, the geometry of which is lifted from Destiny 1. You'll revisit quite a lot of Destiny 1 areas. The way the weapon systems change is quite Destiny 1-esque, some would argue. And they've actually changed quite a lot of how the game actually plays in terms of, you know, how much damage you deal. is a lot more like Destiny 1 was than vanilla Destiny 2.
Okay, that still didn't quite answer the question of your level of happiness.
So, to be honest, I don't know yet.
How many barrels out of five?
Some.
So just to review, to get to this point of not being sure if you're happy with the game.
I've had to play about 12 hours, yeah, to be not sure.
Sigmund Hibbs is on the case.
And spent how much overall on Destiny 2?
Well, including PlayStation.
Well, the I've only bought Forsaken once this time.
I know,
so
but
I
just wanted an update on the overall expenditure on Destiny 2 as a whole.
My reply to that is, you think the prequels are good, Tim, so your opinion is null and void, sir.
Boss Nass, though.
Yes. What?
Boss Nass, though.
Oh dear. But anyway, so I'll be back with more thoughts of Destiny 2 because I haven't been allowed to vocalise it this week. So
I have a question.
Not what?
Because I can only really make one big purchase on games this month with EGX coming up and stuff.
Spider-Man.
So, Spider-Man. It's either going to be Spider-Man or I could do the Destiny upgrade. So
I know what you're like. You're going to buy Spider-Man.
Well, you could turn me around on this. I mean, there's still time down. So in Destiny 2, can you wear red spandex and swing around New York on webs?
Well, you can get a red shader with a little bit blue in it, maybe.
How many bits of shaders do you need to get before you can collect a red shader?
Are there any green goblins or rhinos?
Well, there are goblins.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, there are.
And there are space rhinos, so, you know, that's...
Space rhinos?
Space rhino. Yeah. That's even better than space a rhino.
I know, right? They're because they're in space. Rhinos in space!
That is a definite upgrade.
Yeah, and you know there are other improvements to Destiny 2. Much low my much vaunted term of quality of life updates, but there actually are quite a few
updates.
So I'll be back next week to talk about it. Maybe I might need a whole an actual show to talk about Destiny because that's the only time I'm going to be able to get to describe it in any depth. So so Destiny 2, I quite like it. I'm still not sure how much I like it yet. I think I need to play some more of the end game to really give everyone an idea of whether it's worth A, the money, and then B, the effort to put in to get the most out of the game you've just bought.
Do you know Blizzard now blocks time wasted on Destiny, so I can't see how long you've been playing?
Does it?
Yeah, I can only see your PlayStation and your Xbox stuff.
Oh, see, they must have learned that people were using it to shame people into not playing so much.
I can still find it.
I've been listening to that Big Red Barrel UK. Those lads aren't using it properly. Sanctuary!
Dan's down at least 100 hours a week on Destiny this time around.
So Destiny 2 Forsaken, I'm not allowed to talk about
it. Yeah, you are.
Well, no, but really, was I?
We asked you lots of questions, Dan, and some of them, most of them were sensible.
You asked me lots of inane questions.
Where help? Really? Don't you call me an inane.
Yeah, no, yeah, he doesn't like you when you say that word.
I was well helpful this week.
You were very helpful.
That's
Colin,
two.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
Right, shall we end the show?
Put it out of its misery.
Kicking and screaming.
I think we definitely should put everyone out their misery. So that is pretty much a lot, but we need to remind you that Tuesday is Tuesday.
Tuesday,
what's going on Tuesday,
is
Tim? Perchance,
a Tuesday.
Okay, right. Carry on.
And yes, for anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we have a different feature game at our Tabletop Tuesday events where you can win the feature game just by playing it on the evening. If you come along and join us in the loading bar in Dalston, this Tuesday we have a party game for up to 8 people called Unstable Unicorns, and it is as stupid as it sounds. You've basically got to form an army of unicorns and betray your friends, and yeah. Unicorns are your friends now, as it says. So, yeah, should be a silly and fun one. Easy for anyone to come along and join in. We had quite a few new people come along last week. Also, shout out, and I'm very sorry, but I am bad with names. I remember Jason's name, and I've completely forgotten the name of his wife. But they
Statham.
Were...
Mrs. Jason.
Well, no, but this is a really nice story, though. Jason was a long-term podcast listener.
Jason!
From Sarcastic Gamer Days. He's been listening to us since nearly day one.
Ah,
I think,
back when I was Scottish.
And he was over from Illinois, near Chicago.
That's in America.
Yep. And
Jason!
Was over for a world championship of a game called Clask, which is a game that we had as our feature game a few weeks ago, and we did a little tournament thing with it. But he basically was
him and his wife were both representing America in the international tournament they did in Manchester. So he popped down while he was in the UK. He popped down to Tabletop Tuesday to come say hello. Or they both popped down, which is, yeah, lovely.
And really
nice. Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, really nice. It, as I said to him, it's really nice to like actually put real people to the kind of the numbers of people that we see downloading the show every week and actually knowing that it's not just, you know, robots downloading it. Yeah. It's actual people listening and caring what we say. And
we've met
like
three
that.
Listeners so far. We've got two more to go.
And he's had some nice things to say about, you know, just that we, you know, help him get through his week and stuff like that. And aww. Just, you know, and just that
Jason!
He's been enjoying the show for years and thank you very much. So he did say to pass that on to you guys. And yeah, like, very nice to meet you, sir. Thank you very much for coming and saying hello. Yeah, always nice. And anyone that from anywhere in the world that comes and is in London on a Tuesday, feel welcome to come join us and come say hello. You don't have to be a world championship. The game, basically. Oh, and by the way, I believe he came fourth and his wife came third or fourth in the team things as well, so they did
nice.
Well, hey, awesome. Well done,
and,
sir.
But
Sir Et.
But our events are open to all, from world championships to all the way down to people that have never played a board game before.
Do we have to travel from America to go?
Yeah, and you can travel
yes.
anywhere. I nearly said yes. But yeah, like I said, this is a good silly game to join in. We had lots of new people last week. It was nice to see Jason, but we also had some first-timers that had just never been to this type of thing before, a few other people dropping in as well. Nice crowd, but yeah, come join us for this one. Should be good. There are more details up on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, or you can come join our meetup group of 1,600-plus people. And that
show off.
If you... Well, it's actually more than 1,650 now, but hey. But yeah... if you go to meetup.com and search for Tabletop Tuesday, you will find us on there and details are there as well.
Or if you phone Tim any time of day or night, he will just tell you the details, and that's on 079.
Do you know, I just thought the theme to Bob the Builder is a bit similar to the theme for
everything,
whatever that chat line was.
Hey, also while on the subject of Big Red Barrel related things, if you go over to YouTube on Big Red Barrel TV, you can watch all our coverage from Bandai Namco, where we've recently gone to their London offices and played a bunch of new games, such as Ace Combat 7.
Yes.
Tim played on Expert Mode. You can watch him play on Expert Mode.
Can watch me crash
and burn.
It went brilliantly.
Really bad.
There are so many people on... So, obviously, once again, because I think we're the first people to... show the Mission 7 or something.
I've seen a few other videos for it out there. So
okay. The first like straight playthrough and not a commentary or something. So we've been getting loads and loads of comments on it, and so many of them are like, oh, bloody people playing novice mode. No, it's expert. And this guy has been harassing me all day about this. He's like, no, you're trolling me. You're a liar. I go, mate, I did the capture. I edited the video. I'm looking at it right now. It says expert mode. And he's like, no, you're lying. You're lying. This is what expert mode looks like. I go, no, I'm not disputing. That's not expert mode. He just doesn't know how to play the game.
The bit I liked was when he goes, I don't believe that you could just take this for the first time and not barrel roll. I'm like, Matt, if I knew there was a barrel roll, that's on brand, mate. I'd be doing it.
Anyway, we've got all those videos and more, as well as the video version of the 207.5 podcast, which if you usually skip the half podcast, I recommend checking this one out, because especially in the video version, because we link in all the gameplay to what we're playing as well. Go subscribe to Big Red Barrel TV
and just
hit that bell icon.
You've done some excellent work there. There's some well-produced videos and stuff. And, the little clip of me just crashing, is that on YouTube or not? I don't think you put it up on YouTube.
No, that's Facebook and Twitter.
Okay. You should pop that up on YouTube as well.
No, they're specifically made for small mobile social media sites. I made a little comedy skit.
But yeah, maybe put up a link in the show so other people can see it as well, because it's quite funny.
I am just enjoying reading the comments at the...
Oh, yeah. Never read the comments, Dan.
They are amazing. Garuda1_AC6. He's like, dude, you're a freaking hero. Been waiting so long for Mission 7.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that one.
You are not a true ace, says Alozio Lazaro.
You are not the ace of combat, 7.
Unfortunately, Tim is a bit dyslexic, and he thought he was signing up to be Ace Wombat, and that's pretty much what it comes down to. Sorry, buddy. So, anyway, we're going to go now. But we're going to say thank you to some people first, because that's the kind of nice people that we are. So from the forum section of the forums, I'd like to say thank you to Stingo and Rid Cully's Hat.
And from Twitter, I'd like to thank Nelly and BRB's very own Rick.
And from Facebook, thank you to Freya Goddard. And on YouTube, thanks to Akis, who said, "Lol noobs, the story of Ace Combat is deeper than you think. It's not for your low brains."
Your low brains?
Low brains.
I like the person that told me that I clearly needed more practicing.
I believe he also said that Rick and Morty is actually quite an intelligent show and you need a high IQ to watch it.
Yes, definitely.
Hey, that's why I watch it.
And thank you to Rodrigues, who 99, who said, "Guys, slow down at the same time when you turn to sharper." Yes.
See,
it'll help you out.
Actual constructive criticism, and I've got all the time for. Good
he actually
work.
He
you,
actually
sir.
Apologized to me on behalf of the AC community.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to stop toxic people going out and swearing people off the game, basically.
Yes, good work, sir. You are making the internet a better place. Thank you very much.
I also found our video on Reddit and people are not kind.
And there's one person who I just like to, well, I'm sorry to hear that their life has got to this place. This is Y Mushu, who writes that sucks.
Oh,
perhaps you
might be doing it
perhaps
wrong.
Perhaps you just haven't met the right person,
mate.
Yet.
If I ever get to the point
Why
of my life
you?
Where sucks, then just put me out of my misery.
Just in our thank yous, there we did actually skip over a couple of people. We forgot Mr. Sean LeBode and Spencer H as well.
Oh, sorry.
Whoever is playing this clearly needs more practicing.
Yeah, that's the one I like. More practicing. Like, you need a
hey, an F-14D with AMRAMs.
I don't know what.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, it's like you're throwing a lot of layers at me, mate. Yeah, well done. Good.
Wow.
My favourite one was when I went, no, he's definitely playing an expert. I've seen him play an expert. He goes, he probably selected expert, and then when you weren't looking, yeah, went back and selected.
Like, we've got recorded evidence of it, like, that I didn't touch.
You don't know how videos work, do you? Are you in the past?
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, right, we really should go. So that is your lot. Thank you for listening. We're going to be back again next week, where I might speak about Destiny 2 some more, because, well, I will then might have an opinion about it. Who knows?
Hey, Dan, you know what we're talking about next week?
What we're talking about next week?
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Gets stuck in buffs and eats flies and keeps eggs in a sack on his back. Ooh, there's a spider by the toilet.
I'm just testing my theory that if you just leave a moment of silence with Coleman on the line, how compelled he feels to just fill it with utter
utter tremble.
Big up to whoever Rockstar have been tweeting out pictures of all the different characters that are going to be in Red Dead Redemption 2. Whoever did the mock-up of the screaming cowboy is a goddamn genius.
We're going to go. So that is your lot, ladies and gentlemen. So I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
Bob,
I might have also
builder.
Been terrible at Ace Combat.
Yes, we can.
Shut up.
Yes, we can.
Scoot, Mark and Dizzy and Rolly too. Lofty and Wendy join the crew. Bob and the gang have so much fun working together.
You're causing invisible pain. I can hear it.
Bob the Builder, can we fix it? Bob the Builder, yes we can.
Must end show.
Do
it. Stop.
You can do it.
Do it now.
Okay.
End the show.
Okay. That's your lot, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you ever so much for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.